Nirvana is considered one of the most influential bands worldwide and managed to become the symbol with which an entire generation identified. With only 7 years of experience and 3 studio albums, the band, founded in Aberdeen, Washington in 1987, managed to revolutionize the music scene and put the hitherto little-known genre of grunge in the mainstream media spotlight, while at the same time shaking the thoughts of thousands of people. I take this opportunity to ask you to subscribe and leave your like to continue making more videos on these topics. Grunge is a subgenre of alternative rock, mainly influenced by genres such as punk, noise rock, and alternative metal. It emerged in the late 80s with groups mainly from Seattle, a city in Washington, and stands out for the use of distorted and energetic guitars, as well as predominant drums. Kurt Cobain, considered one of the most absorbing composers of his generation, composed a large number of repetitive and catchy vocal melodies that reflected disenchantment and disgust with the culture that surrounded them, and unknowingly began with a movement that glowed brightly and faded away suddenly. These are stories behind Nirvana songs. Number 8. Something in the Way. It is one of the darkest and most mysterious songs in their entire discography. It is the last from the 1991 album Nevermind, where producer Butch Vig aimed for the band to play outside their comfort zone. This was one of the few songs with a slow tempo that Cobain ended up performing alone with an acoustic guitar that was rarely in tune. For a long time, it was believed that the lyrics of the song spoke about the life of the singer who, as a teenager, lived on the streets of Aberdeen in Washington after being kicked out of his home, and who survived by sleeping and fishing under the street bridge. However, it was not until 2001 that Cobain's biography, Heavier Than Heaven by writer Charles Cross, confirmed that during the 4 months that Cobain lived on the streets, he slept in various places such as cardboard boxes, hallways of buildings abandoned, waiting rooms and town hospitals, etc. And that he wrote the lyrics imagining what it would feel like to be a person who lives under the bridge and is slowly dying of an illness, since that was a kind of fantasy that the singer had. The song gained quite a bit of popularity after 2020 when it was used in the trailer for the film The Batman, performed by Robert Pattinson, where it was placed at number 2 on the United States Rock Digital Song Sales Chart. Number 7. About a Girl. Considered Kurt Cobain's first great pop composition, it is said to have been written and recorded at home, after the musician spent an entire night listening to the album Meet the Beatles from the late 80s. Cobain sought to hide his intentions to write pop music, since he was afraid of dividing the band's fans with a sound different from grunge and the underground. He considered it to be something risky for the time. However, the producer of the Bleach album was enthusiastic about the composition and saw it as a single with potential, so it was included as the third song on the 1989 album. Years later, producer Butch Vig revealed to a magazine that Kurt Cobain was a great fan of the Beatles, and the more time he spent with him, the more noticeable the influence he had from them when writing his songs. It is said that once the song was finished, it had no title, so when he introduced it to his bandmates, they asked him what it was about, and Kurt only told them it was about a girl. The girl the song talks about is Tracy Miranda, in that moment, Cobain's girlfriend with whom he lived and who saw the birth of the band Nirvana. The song talks about the couple's difficult romantic relationship and Cobain's notorious anxiety to be heard. All mainly caused because Cobain refused to look for work and share cleaning duties for his pets. Strangely, Cobain never told Miranda that he wrote this song for her, and she only found out about it until 1998 when she read Michael Azarad's biography of the band. Number 6. The Man Who Sold the World. The song was originally composed by David Bowie in 1970, and years later, several musicians covered the song, including the band Nirvana in 1993, whose performance for MTV Unplugged made it an iconic song tinged by the dark and melancholic personality of Kurt Cobain. The song was marked as a bittersweet memory when the following year the singer made the decision to end his existence, causing the general public to attribute a premonitory meaning to the lyrics. The lyrics of the song talk about the story of a man who desperately seeks to reunite with himself, being one of the themes that Cobain was passionate about. In addition, the song talks about death from an unusual perspective, representing the concept as an encounter with an old friend who came from a long trip and is returning home. There is no doubt that the essence of the song fits perfectly with the personality of the singer, who, being a simple person, mainly dedicated his musical career to denouncing through his lyrics the hypocrisy, luxury, and excesses that were experienced in the musical environment. Number 5. In Bloom. The second song from the 1991 album Nevermind is a parody dedicated to new Nirvana fans who did not belong to the grunge community, but knew the band after the rapid popularity they gained from their first album. The parody is also directed at superficial fans of the underground scene that the group was gradually discovering in its audience and who could not differentiate Nirvana's songs from other Seattle bands like Pearl Jam, with whom they were often confused. The song was originally reinterpreted several times, once being performed over the phone from Kurt's house, and in the end, the song took a more pop form to the point of featuring a several-minute instrumental bridge, which producer Butch Vig felt ruined the song and decided to physically cut it from the tape with a razor blade and then throw it in the trash. As in many of Nirvana's songs, In Bloom alternates between calm verses and strong choruses, while the lyrics seek to create a brilliant irony of dark and cryptic lyrics with a melody so catchy that millions of people enjoy and sing along without a problem. This song was released with different music videos, the most popular and recognized being the one directed by Kevin Kerslake. Cobain originally wanted to tell the story of a woman born into the Ku Klux Klan and who later became aware of how perverse its members were, however the idea being very complicated to carry out, was better changed by a parody on the musical shows of the 60s. The video took on a humorous tone because Cobain was tired of people always taking them so seriously and wanted to show that they also had a fun side, showing the band members dressed in the style of the band The Beach Boys. Number 4. Shape Box. It is the third song from the third studio album In Utero from 1993. The song was almost forgotten since Kurt, after composing the opening riff, hoped that his bandmates could continue with it. However, for a long time the tune only ended in annoying noise, and it was not until in an improvised session Cobain found the vocal melody that instantly allowed the ideas to flow that could finish it, leaving the members convinced that in the end it was a good song. In an interview, Courtney Love stated that she had heard the riff when Kurt was writing it in a closet, and when she asked if he could let her use that riff for her band, Kurt told her to fuck off and closed the door on her face. Courtney Love claims that the title was inspired by a heart-shaped box that he had given to Cobain. However, Cobain had originally titled the song as Heart-Shaped Coffin. And in a biography written by Michael Azarad about Kurt Cobain, this gives to understand that the lyrics were a love song for children with cancer, since every time he thought about it, it affected him on the highest emotional level, more than anything else. The music video was originally going to be directed by Kevin Kerslake, who had already worked with the band before and who prepared 5 concept proposals for this song. However, in the end, an agreement was not reached and the band ended up working with Anton Corbin, who followed the surreal concept that Cobain had in mind. After the video's release, Kevin Kerslake sued the band, claiming they stole his idea without giving him credit, and the case was eventually settled out of court. Curiously, in 2012, when the song was performed by Lana Del Rey, Courtney Love wrote several tweets to her where she assured that the song talked about her intimate area and that she should think about it when she sang it. Number 3. Lithium. It is the 5th song from the 2nd studio album Nevermind from 1991. The lyrics talk about a man who, after the death of his girlfriend, finds in religion the last resort to avoid suicidal impulses. The writer of Nirvana's biography assures that Cobain he was influenced by religion during the time he spent living with his friend Jesse Reed and his Christian parents. Kurt also stated that some people should have religion in their lives if they need it, and that it saves their lives. The music video was the 2nd project directed by Kevin Kerslake. Cobain originally wanted the video to feature an animated story about a girl named Prego who discovers some eggs hatching. But when Cobain learned that the animation would take 4 months to complete, he decided to change it to a collage of live performances. An accident with this song occurred when in 1992 the band agreed to play Lithium live at the MTV Awards. However, as a protest for not letting them play Rape Me, Kurt begins his segment by playing a few seconds of the band song, and then corrects and plays Lithium at the end of the song. Bassist Chris Novoselic, supposedly upset with his instrument because it was failing, throws it into the air, and when trying to catch it, it falls on his forehead, causing so much pain that the bassist falls on his back and later gets up to leave staggering from the stage. This while some fans got on stage to throw themselves into the audience, and when they finished playing, Kurt began to throw away the amplifiers and mistreat the instruments, since the next band to perform would be Guns N' Roses, and at that moment they already hated each other. Likewise, the drummer speaks into the microphone, looking and greeting Axl Rose repeatedly and in a mocking tone to provoke him.
Hi Axl! Where's Axl? Hi Axl! Hi Axl! Hi Axl!
Number 2. Come As You Are. The 3rd song from the 1991 album Nevermind, it is considered the band's 2nd most important song, and it launched them to fame in the early 90s as one of the most listened to songs. It is remembered as one of the group's few optimistic songs, since the lyrics of the song talk about the listener's self-acceptance as they are, in the same way that it asks syringe users to disinfect them to reduce the risk of contagion of HIV. This in support of a campaign in Seattle in the late 80s. The song's popular riff caught the attention of British post-punk band Killing Joke, who claimed that the famous riff was plagiarized from their song 80s and threatened to sue them. However, the lawsuit did not materialize. Some say it was because the Killing Joke vocalist claimed that the members of Nirvana openly confessed to having taken the riff from them, and that was the only thing he wanted to hear. Others say that Nirvana's riff sounded more like that of the song Life Goes On by the band The Damned, and they should be the ones to sue. In 2005, a sign was placed in Cobain's hometown, Aberdeen, Washington, that says, "Welcome to Aberdeen, come as you are," and which by some is considered ironic since Kurt openly declared that he hated his hometown, the people who lived there and he met. Likewise, after Kurt's death, efforts were made to found an addiction treatment center with the same name, but the project collapsed after the record label was purchased by Warner Music Group. Number 1. Smells Like Teen Spirit. It is the first song from the band's second album Nevermind in 1991. The lyrics of the song talk about an image of teenage rebellion that was very well received by the audience to the point of being considered the anthem for the apathetic children of generation. Since during those years, the genres of glam metal and retro music dominated the music scene. The four-chord riff, now considered power chords, gained strength with Kurt's vocal range going from a soft melancholy tone to a shouted verse during the chorus and outro. Cobain stated in an interview that this singing dynamic was a direct influence of the band Pixies, since the first time he heard them he connected so much with their style that he felt he had to be in that band or in one that played their songs. Likewise, Cobain explained that the lyrics of the song did not have a specific meaning and that he was surprised at how people looked for a literal meaning in his songs. When he usually composed the lyrics at the last minute and often only took pieces of poetry or he filled in spaces with phrases that he liked at that moment. The title Teen Spirit was an indirect reference to the Colgate-Palmolive Company's line of deodorants for girls. The band's drummer's girlfriend, Hannah, played in a band with Kurt's then-girlfriend Toby Vail. One day, to annoy him, Hannah spray-scratched the phrase "Kurt smells like teen spirit" on a wall, mocking that Kurt smelled like his girlfriend's deodorant. However, Cobain did not know the name of the product, and it seemed like a slogan in line with the themes about anarchy and the punk movement that he often talked about with Hannah. Months after the song's success, the Colgate Company created an advertising campaign trying to get rid of the misunderstanding, which always bothered Cobain. There was so much global attention on the song that the band already felt uncomfortable playing it and often avoided it in subsequent concerts. In 1994, Cobain said that he still liked to play the song, but they were already embarrassed by the great attention that people gave him lent. The multi-award-winning music video makes surreal references to the 1979 cult film Over the Edge, one of Cobain's favorites. The video showed the band playing in a school gym, surrounded by apathetic cheerleaders, wearing black dresses with the anarchist symbol of the A inside a circle. The video ends with the students going crazy and leaving the place destroyed. It is said that the disaster was genuine, since the extras in the stands had been sitting all afternoon during the replays of the recording, and at the end Cobain himself allowed them to improvise and take out their frustration on the set, which in the end became a chaos. In 2000, the Guinness Book of Records placed the song's music video as the most played video on MTV Europe, with even a former member of MTV's programming department admitting that this video showed them a whole new generation that they had to study to be able to sell to them. There is no doubt that the success of this song was unexpected and that thanks to it they catapulted Nirvana to world fame, thus achieving that several of the songs from their second studio album reached the top places on different charts, coming to be considered the moment when grunge music became one of the most popular genres of the 90s. If you liked the video, share it with your friends and family so they can learn more about these bands. Remember that you can also leave us in the comments box what other songs you would like to see in these videos. Until next time.